A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 8. Solishnari.
What happened? Din demanded, clutching at the comm. Where are you? Is Grogu hurt?
He's all right, said the Jedi, raising a hand so Din could see it. There was an incident, he said. But it's over now, and no one...
Well, Grogu wasn't hurt, and neither was anyone else at the temple.
What happened? Din growled. His aches were forgotten. His grip on the comm was so tight the leather of his glove creaked. The pins in his bad arm flared sharply. Din ignored it.
There was a... well... I've got a bounty on my head, I guess, left over from the war, Skywalker explained. He picked up speed, talking faster, almost as if he sensed Din's mounting panic. Imperial remnants, I think. A hunter found me here. Grogu... well... Grogu killed him. Broke his neck. But Grogu's fine. The hunter didn't manage to hurt anyone.
You've got a bounty on you? Din's thoughts whirled. Is that why you called?
Din could probably convince Karga to drop any guild pucks on Skywalker if there were any. Din had never heard of Skywalker prior to him showing up on the light cruiser, but if dropping the puck on Skywalker helped protect Grogu, Karga would do it. Karga had taken to Grogu like the kid was his own flesh and blood, despite the fact that Karga had once tried to have Din killed and the kid delivered back to the remnants. That had been before Grogu had healed Karga and Navarro, though. Before all of them had faced Gideon the first time and had survived.
No, said Skywalker. It isn't, actually. I wanted to ask... well, there's not really a good way to say it.
Spit it out, Din said flatly. He needed to find Fennec. She might be able to trace Skywalker's location through the comm. Din could go, could find the kid, could make sure he was safe, hunt down any threats facing him or the Jedi.
Has Grogu ever hurt anyone with the Force?
Skywalker's expression was difficult to read. Din stopped, pulling himself out of his thoughts. For someone so young and earnest-looking, Skywalker's eyes were deep as lakes. Old, fathomless. When he looked like that, he didn't look young or earnest at all. He looked ancient, wise. A little frightening, if Din were honest with himself.
Din's sense of unease mounted.
What do you mean?
I don't.
If his powers are the Force, then yes, Din said. Skywalker's expression flickered.
Yes?
Din nodded, and suddenly wanted to take off his helmet and put his head in his hands.
Yes, just the once that I know of, and he didn't actually hurt her, but he tried. He thought that a friend and I were fighting. He tried to protect me.
He still remembered the confusion, Kara clawing at her throat, Grogu's tiny hand outstretched. It had taken Din several seconds of staring, moving between Kara and the kid, to realize that it had been the kid hurting her.
How?
It looked like he was trying to strangle her, but he wasn't anywhere near her. He had one of his hands outstretched. And he stopped when he realized she wasn't trying to hurt me, Din added hastily. The Jedi chewed his lip.
I think, he said, that Grogu has killed people. Before this hunter, I mean.
Din blinked.
When?
It's hard to tell, Skywalker admitted. His memories aren't human, or even near human.
The other Jedi could communicate with him through the Force, Din said, confused.
He had no idea how that all worked, but Tano had been able to understand Grogu with ease. Easier than Din did, anyway.
I'm not... well... said Skywalker, expression closing off again. I wasn't raised as a Jedi. Maybe there's a better way of communicating that I don't know, but Grogu's memories are different than mine, or any other human or near human I've read with the Force. unease prickled in Din's gut. You can read minds, not just with other beings who have powers. Force sensitives, Skywalker corrected. And yes, sometimes. I didn't read yours, he added, realizing the source of Din's concern. It's not very easy, and it takes time, especially when the being you're trying to read is strong-willed. How do you know that I'm strong-willed? Din asked, still suspicious and unsettled. He didn't like the thought of the Jedi, or anyone for that matter, in his head. That made the Jedi smile a little. Grogu thinks you're the strongest person in the galaxy, he said, and he's a pretty good judge of character. The Force is very strong in him. Instinctive. He's used it to protect himself for years, probably, without even realizing it. Skywalker sobered. That's why I'm concerned. You said that he killed someone. On Moff Gideon's ship, I think, Skywalker said. He grimaced. It's hard to know for sure. Like I said, Grogu thinks differently, and his memories run together in a way that's hard for me to understand. It might have been years ago, but I think it was on the ship. Din relaxed a little. He was probably afraid, Din pointed out. He'd been taken. He didn't know where I was or what was happening, and the Empire is his enemy. Gideon, he didn't have a problem hurting people to get what he wanted. Grogu knew that. Skywalker's eyes narrowed. This other person he tried to hurt. Your friend, he said. Was she Empire? Had she tried to hurt Grogu? No, Din said. He was just confused. I don't know if he'd ever seen a spar or a play fight. He just got scared for me, that's all. Skywalker sighed. Protecting yourself and your clan are natural, Din said, not understanding what the problem was. It was never pleasant when a child had to kill, but the galaxy was not kind to children. Din would have preferred to keep Grogu out of harm's way, of course. The kid deserved to be a kid, to chase frogs and play games and run around without having to worry about being snatched up in the market or hunted across half the known universe. But that's not the galaxy he lives in. He's not Mandalorian, not yet, but he's close enough. Mandalorian children know how to protect themselves, Din said. They know that sometimes, if it's your life or the lives of your tribe in the balance, killing your enemy is the best option.
Grogu is a child.
So was I when I saw my first lethal action, Din said dispassionately. When I made my first kill. He had been 11 or 12, and the covert had been raided by Haxian brood lackeys looking to turn a profit in the Sorrow Lanes. Mandalorians always did well in the fighting pits, at least for a little while, and children snatched up young enough could be trained to do almost anything. Din remembered what Vanth had said about the fall of the Jedi, and frowned. Weren't the Jedi hunted? Even the children? Didn't you teach your apprentices how to survive?
There's a difference between survival and killing an enemy who can't defend himself, Skywalker said. I'd immobilize the hunter. I was going to wipe his mind and send him away. The situation was under control.
You can... Grogu probably didn't know that, Din said, trying not to be disturbed. He didn't know what all a Jedi could or couldn't do. Wipe his mind was an alarming statement, but it was apparently within the realm of possibility for a Jedi. He didn't have time to focus on that. He had to make sure that Grogu was all right. A Jedi's first instinct should never be to kill, Skywalker tried to explain. Din frowned. That was ridiculous. Sometimes killing was the best option. If an enemy discovered the location of a covert, killing them was the only way to ensure the covert's survival. A willingness to kill had saved Din's life. If he hesitated every time he came across an enemy, Din would have died a long time ago.
Why?
Din asked. If I'm attacked, whoever attacks me knows that their life is forfeit if they fail. That's the way the galaxy works. Din didn't kill because he thought it was fun, because he wanted to. He killed because he always had a tribe to protect, secrets to keep, his own life to preserve. Sparring with allies and friends was one thing, but most of the time when Din got into a fight, the consequence for losing that fight was death or worse.
It's different for the Jedi, Skywalker insisted. The Force is...
Why? Din said, baffled.
Grogu was afraid, that's all.
That's why I'm concerned. He killed out of fear, not necessity. Fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate is the path to the dark side, said the Jedi quietly. The words had an odd lilt to them, almost song-like. Din's neck prickled. I don't know what that is. Tano had said something similar, hadn't she? She'd worried about Grogu using his powers to cause pain. About his attachment to Din. Attachment, she'd said, is the path to the dark side. The dark side is... It's a part of the Force, said Skywalker. It's the Force channeled through anger, through hate. So it's bad? Din didn't understand. Anger motivated. Hatred could be a tool. It was never wise to let hatred be a warrior's sole motivation. That was the way of the Wurrok. But anger and fear were motivators, and a strong motivation could mean the difference between life and death. But the Jedi nodded. It's certainly dangerous, he said. Those who use the dark side, they use it to hurt, to dominate. The dark side corrupts, twists a Jedi away from their purpose. Din's eyebrows furrowed. Killing one's enemy was honorable, especially when the act saved the life of another. It wasn't like the kid had gone around torturing small animals or bullying other children. Mandalorians knew how to recognize a Wurrok among them, a warrior who had been twisted by too much battle and not enough time among the tribe. It sounded like Grogu had tried to protect his teacher, his tribe, just like he'd tried to protect Din from Kara. Grogu just needed more time to learn, that was all. Grogu doesn't want to hurt anyone, Din said. He doesn't want anyone to hurt you, Skywalker corrected, gently. Or me, or Grogu himself. That's natural, Din protested. Skywalker nodded. Jedi defend themselves, he said. They even kill if they have to. I've killed. But Grogu didn't try to knock the bounty hunter out or to mind-trick them to go away. He went straight to, well, something about the conversation he was having prickled at Din, like the sense of feeling eyes on the back of his neck. Something the Jedi had just said was important, but Din didn't understand what the problem was and said so. He's a kid, said Din. I don't know how all of that Jedi stuff works, but it's a lot easier for a kid to fire a blaster than it is to put an enemy in a Kashyyyk sleep hold. That's true, Skywalker admitted. Why is the dark side dangerous? Said Din. You said that it corrupts. How? I thought Jedi powers were just that, just things that the kid can do. You're saying that this Force thing is, what, alive? Not alive, said Skywalker, scrubbing the back of his neck. But not alive, either? I need to be drunk for this. Skywalker wasn't making any sense. Some of Din's confusion must have come through, even between the helmet and the calm, because Skywalker made a little frustrated sound and said, The Force is everywhere. It's in everything. In you, me, Grogu. In the rocks, and the wind, and in gravity. It binds us. It holds the universe together. But it can think? No, said Skywalker. At least, it's not sentient. It just is. And the dark side... You know how gravity holds you planet-side?
Yes, said Din warily.
So, gravity is good, and lets us stay alive, said Skywalker. But if you fall from high enough up, gravity will also kill you. The Force is like that. Oh. Din supposed he understood that. Gravity kept planets moving around their suns, kept moons in orbit and boots on the ground. Gravity also had no mercy. If it wasn't subverted, gravity would dash a being to the ground, or pull them into a black hole. Gravity could be subverted. Jetpacks and anti-grav drives, magnetism, thrusters, even the Force could work against gravity. The kid had lifted the mudhorn, after all. So you're saying that the dark side is like using an unstable magwell to resist gravity, Din said. A magwell could be rigged fairly quickly, and they did work, but magwells also carked with other energy fields, and if one was set up too fast, it could fail while being used and kill everyone inside it. Sort of, said Skywalker, relieved that Din had grasped the basics. And Grogu's using it? Not intentionally, I don't think, Skywalker said. Din let out a breath. He's just... well, it's hard to use it and then stop. He's just a kid, Din repeated. Just tell him not to. He's a sharp kid. He'll pick it up. What's the worst that could happen? He kills another bounty hunter? He's not going to turn it on you, if that's what you're worried about. The kid wasn't dangerous. Or at least he wasn't any more dangerous than any kid with a Mandalorian parent and magic powers. He wasn't bad, at least. He wasn't evil. Grogu was just trying to survive, trying to protect the people he cared about. The Emperor used the dark side, said Skywalker quietly. His image flickered and wavered in Din's hand. So did Darth Vader. Grogu isn't about to become the next Emperor, Din said, snorting. The idea was ridiculous. Grogu chased bugs and chewed on lug nuts. Aren't you teaching him to be a Jedi? The Emperor wasn't one, was he? Darth Vader was, once. Really? Din frowned. I thought the Emperor had all the Jedi killed. Not all of them, said Skywalker. His expression was oddly sad. He couldn't have been very old at the end of the Clone Wars. He looked at least a good standard decade younger than Din himself was. Some escaped, and some turned. And you're worried that the kid's gonna turn? Din tried to put the Jedi's words into context, tried to make them make sense. He couldn't imagine the kid turning out like Darth Vader. Vader had been a machine, a nightmare. Grogu was just a kid. Not exactly, said Skywalker, apparently sensing Din's mounting agitation. It's just, Jedi are peaceful. Grogu isn't, and I wanted to see if you had any insights, so I can help him better. So he doesn't turn. Din folded his arms across his chest. The kid attacked that bounty hunter because he thought he, or you, was being attacked, he said flatly. That's all. His control might not be very good. He's only ever used his powers when he was scared, at least until he met the other Jedi. Skywalker ran a hand through his hair. Would it be possible for you to come out here anyway? Grogu misses you, and I want to see if you can help me put things in order a little. Grogu doesn't really get the passage of time like you or I do. He's confused. Din paused. You want me to come to your Jedi school? It's not much of a school yet, but yes, if you've got time, Skywalker said. The earnestness was back in his expression. I think it would help Grogu. Din sighed. Yeah, he said. He didn't know how he'd get out there. He'd have to borrow or buy a ship, and Fett probably didn't want to let Din go just yet, not with things starting to pick up. But if Din's presence would help Grogu, or help Skywalker realize that Grogu was fine, then Din would do it. Send me the coordinates, Din said. Skywalker beamed at him. Oh, it might take me a few rotations to get out to you wherever you are, but I'll be there as soon as I can. I'll get there. I'll calm them to you, said Skywalker, relieved. I appreciate it, Mr. Mandalorian. Din sighed again. Jaren, he said. He might as well paint it on his Beskar in Orobesh the way he was handing his name out to anyone who asked. Jaren, Grogu will be happy to see you. I'll be happy to see him, too, Din muttered. He ended the call, Skywalker's image flickering away. Din's thoughts raced. Fett will know where to find a ship. Din wasn't sure that Fett would be happy about it. Din wasn't integral to Fett's operation or anything, but it felt strange to have shown Fett so much vulnerability and then hit the black so soon after. Will he think that I'm afraid? That I'm running? Din was not a coward. He'll understand. It's for the kid, Din told himself, picking up his pace. His back throbbed distantly, adrenaline keeping the worst of it away. He took the second lift down and strode towards the throne room, anxiety making his steps long despite the lingering ache in his lower back, his knees. Din made it out of the hall and pulled up short. His hand went to his blaster. The whole room was echoingly empty. But for the Twi'lek, Nora, and a battered silver protocol droid, who both had mops in hand and were scrubbing blood out of the floor. Din stared at it, confused, before his training caught up with him. He swept his gaze over the room instinctively, cataloging information. He saw blood on the floor, carbon burns scoring the walls behind the throne, a table near the steps overturned, broken glass winking in the sunlight. No bodies, Din thought. He flicked his visor's readout over to thermal scans. There was no one else in the room except for Nora. The heat trails Din could see were at least an hour old, most of them filtering up towards the stairs out of the palace, though a few went deeper in. What happened? Din asked. His voice was harsh and sudden in the empty room. Nora startled, dropping her mop to pull a small snub-nosed blaster from the billowy folds of her pants, and the protocol droid turned and said, "Goodness me!" "Oh," said Nora, recognizing Din. She shook her head, Leku swaying. "It's just you. You're awfully quiet for someone wearing that much armor. Has anyone told you?" Din pressed his mouth together. "What happened?" he repeated. Nora sighed. "Some lackeys from the Hutt cartel came gunning for the boss," she said. Din looked at the bloodstain and blanched, though Nora couldn't see him do it. "The Sleemo missed," Nora added. She gestured at the mess on the floor. "The boss didn't." Is everyone all right?" Din asked, a strange, prickling feeling rising in his fingertips. He felt the urge to prowl through the hallways and kill anyone he didn't recognize. He felt like he should go through the palace room by room. "This isn't the covert," Din reminded himself, fingers curling into loose fists. He tucked his hands into his belt to keep from scaring Nora. "It's not on me to make sure it's secure." That argument wasn't very convincing. Nora waved her hand, tucking her blaster away. "Yeah, everyone's fine. Well, Zero took a pretty bad hit, and Kasik's missing some fur down his side, but none of us died."
"And the cartel thugs?"
Nora just looked at the blood on the floor, then at Din. He nodded. "Dead, then." He forced himself to relax, to table his spiking alarm. "Fett was fine. Fennec was fine. None of Fett's people had been too badly hurt." "When did this happen?" Din asked. He hadn't heard anything. And he hated the thought of relaxing in the Sonic, admiring his new bruises, while his friends... allies, he reminded himself. Lives had been in danger. 2-3 hours ago now, said Nora. She caught on to Din's concern and softened some. It was over pretty fast. I'm not surprised you missed it if you were catching up after a long night. Din stiffened. She can't know, he thought. Fett had promised him. Fennec would be able to figure it out, the shift between Din and Fett, but Fett had said that no one else would know. His armor, locked into place by the position of his spine, dug into his battered shoulders. Where is everyone? Din asked. If only 2 of Fett's people had been hurt, where had the rest of the court gone? Hut hunting in Mos Eisley, Nora said. She picked up her mop again. That's the only spaceport they could have come through. No one would try to take the palace from the desert. Where in Mos Eisley? Din demanded. Well, I never, the protocol droid muttered. Din mastered the urge to shoot it. It would make him feel better, but it would probably frighten Nora. They didn't say, but my credits are on the quarter, the gleaning, Nora said. You heading out after them? Din nodded. Take my speeder. It's the yellow Model T on the landing pad. Thanks, Din said, making an effort to soften his tone for her. I'll bring it back. Don't get shot, Nora suggested. Fennec and the boss like you a lot. Din didn't really know what to say to that, so he just nodded. He'd try his best not to get shot anyway, and made his way towards the palace's landing pad, head whirling. A few of the palace's other denizens were scattered here and there. Some guards stood menacingly in front of doors. The spindly droid A2 dragged a very dead Duros toward a trash chute. A couple of Twi'leks muttered to each other. Din ignored them all. Nura's speeder was waiting where she said it'd be. Din climbed in, making sure his armor was sealed and his spear was secure, and raced off towards Mos Eisley in record time. 2 assassination attempts in as many days, he kept thinking. His heart pounded. Did Fett bite off more than he can chew? The Hutt cartel didn't have a reputation for bloody-minded viciousness that some of the other syndicates did. Din had tried to stay away from Crimson Dawn his entire life, well aware of their reputation for brutalizing their own for the slightest mistake. But a cartel was a cartel, and Fett had laid claim to a pretty sizable chunk of Hutt's base. Can he really stand against them? The blunt white buildings of the city rose up around Din in record time. He'd never made the trip between the city and the palace so fast. He found a space for the speeder, noting its location so he could make sure it made its way back to Nura, and climbed down, taking stock of the city. Mos Eisley buzzed with nervous energy. Din could taste it in the air. The vendors were subdued, the usual noise of the city muted. Everyone in sight was sticking close to their own kind. Weequay smugglers had banded together underneath a sun-faded tent. Jawas clustered protectively next to their piles of salvage. Humans watched, sharp-eyed, from cantina doors. No one got in Din's way as he moved through the streets. He felt their eyes following him and knew that everyone in the city had him marked as one of Fett's people. Fett's armor was green and Din's silver, but the Beskar tied them together. It was a familiar feeling, being marked as Mandalorian, as one among many, or, at least, one of a tribe of 2. Din wasn't sure how Fett would feel about it, since he didn't seem to want a tribe of his own, but Din couldn't help the curl of pride that licked through his ribs, the sense of protection that came from being considered part of a tribe. Anyone who tried to take a shot at Din would face Fett's retribution, and anyone who took a shot at Fett would face Din's. Even if that wasn't entirely true, Mos Eisley believed it, and that was almost as safe. Din kept a ready hand on his blaster all the same, but he felt the weight of Mos Eisley's assumption like Beskar on his back as he walked. It wasn't hard to find Fett. Din just had to follow the unease rippling through Mos Eisley's streets like water disturbed by a stone. Fett would be in the middle of it all. Eyes kept turning inward, pointing the way as the streets became narrower, the shops seedier, the walls grimier and marked up by rival gangs. No part of Mos Eisley could really be called nice, not even by Outer Rim standards, but Din was definitely moving into the worst part of the city. The quarter was at least clean and well-kept, if desperately poor, but the path to Fett took Din through the Gleaning. The Gleaning saw plenty of credits moving through its streets. Blood fights, skin work, paid killings, spice, Sara trade, and cartel work all ground away in the Gleaning, flushing its narrow, hot streets with plenty of clink, but the beings who made the Gleaning their home didn't give a cark about their surroundings. Mos Eisley had never had much by way of law enforcement. The only enforcers had been Jabba's, and without the Hutt cartel pushing some sort of order on the streets, the Gleaning had grown even wilder and filthier than it had been when Din had last walked the streets looking for bounty work. Heaps of trash piled in alleyways and street corners drew droning Kirik flies as big as Din's fist. The buildings had once been the same dull white as the rest of Mos Eisley, but had gone so brown and yellow with age it was hard to imagine that the Gleaning was part of the same city. Most window ports were boarded up with rusted sheets of metal. Bits and pieces of machinery, likely droids, as the Gleaning also supported several droid fighting rings, were scattered everywhere. Piles of sand, 1 or 2 howlers away from being miniature dunes, drifted up against buildings and crunched underfoot. Din didn't need to look hard to find Fett. The Gleaning streets were even emptier than the rest of Mos Eisley. Din just had to follow the silence. Din found Fett at a cantina called Bubiska. The name was painted above the door in peeling Huttese, Orbesh characters tacked on underneath as an afterthought. Even by Mos Eisley standards, the place was a scughole. The exterior was the same sandstone and wattle construction as most of Mos Eisley, the stone turned unpleasantly yellow by age and lack of care. sand heaped at the door, which was just a piece of durasteel that had been tossed to one side. The window ports had been boarded up with corrugated durasteel, and a variety of crude images and symbols had been sprayed over the metal and the walls. Underneath a rough and inaccurate drawing of a particular piece of a male Rhodian's anatomy, Din spotted the mark of the Hutt cartel. Bubisco was theirs, then. Hand on his blaster, Din purposely stepped inside. Fennec shot him in the chest. The blaster bolt zinged, and Din's cuirass hummed as it diffused the bolt. Din blinked at her. Fennec had taken up a defensive position behind Bubiska's frankly disgusting bar, blaster trained at the cantina's only door. Din could only see her eyes. The rest of her face was hidden behind her tactical mask. She was dressed head to foot in black. Din took his hand off his blaster. "It's just me," he said. He peered down at his chest. Fennec's bolt had left a blackened score of carbon, but no other mark. "Oh," said Fennec, muffled by her mask. "Sorry." She didn't sound sorry at all. Din supposed he should be grateful she had shot him with a normal blaster instead of her preferred pulse rifle. A pulse rifle at 20 feet probably wouldn't break through Beskar, but it would definitely crack a rib or six. Din shook his head. He wasn't bothered. He looked around the cantina. Fennec was the only living being inside. Three Rhodians were slumped over the bar, dead. Two had been shot. One had met the bludgeoning end of a Gaddafi. A human man was dead, too, sprawled face down in the middle of the cantina. His blaster was still in his hand. Din couldn't see what had killed him. A security droid lay near the far wall, legs akimbo. Its central chassis had been crushed. Din whistled under his breath. From what he could see, there wasn't a mark on Fennec, and Fett would have come in his armor. They'd taken the cantina without much effort. "Where's Fett?" he asked. "What happened?" "Boba's in the back," said Fennec. There was a dark doorway behind her, its mouth yawning wide. The door itself hung off its hinges. Sheet metal caved in where someone in heavy armor had thrown a shoulder into it. "He's cleaning house." "What happened?" Din repeated. Fennec reholstered her blaster. Someone in the Hutt cartel paid off a little gang of Wormo to come cause a commotion during morning court. They shot Zero and Kasik. Once we'd taken care of them, we tracked them back here. We got Jalto to sing the other night. This is one of the cantinas that still gets regular marching orders from the Hutt cartel. We'll pay the other two a visit next if this lead doesn't give Boba what he wants. "How'd the cartel make it into the palace?" Din asked. The destruction in the throne room hadn't been so extensive. The palace's doors had been in one piece. They hadn't blasted their way in. "They dressed up as Tuskens," said Fennec darkly. "Authentic robes, masks, Gaddafi, all of it. One of them knew enough sign to convince the door guards that they were legitimate. Boba's been making headway with some of the tribes in the Dune Sea. The guards let them in, thinking they were raiders who wanted to negotiate a trade contract." Din nodded. Tuskens never showed their faces, and thought that being asked to do so was unspeakably rude. No guard who'd spent more than a few rotations on Tatooine would even bother trying to check to make sure being in Tusken robes was actually a Tusken. "How's Nora?" Fennec asked. "She and Zero are... well, she was shaken when we left." "All right," said Din. "She nearly shot me, but she was calm enough. She and a protocol droid are putting the throne room back together." Din hesitated. "You could have come and woken me," he said. He was too old to be petulant, but it still stung, he supposed, that Fett and Fennec had been in danger, and they hadn't come for Din's aid. Fennec shrugged. "Boba said to let you rest. You've done enough for the outfit the last few days. Cleaning up the Hutt cartel's leavings isn't exactly your job."
"But it's yours?"
Fennec laughed like an Anuba. "I do a little of everything," she said. "And Boba doesn't have a problem getting his blaster warm." Din grunted. He still didn't like the idea that he'd been sleeping or laying around while the palace had been attacked, while his allies had been in danger. Din was no coward. He would defend the palace just like he defended the light cruiser. From the doorway behind Fennec, there came a heavy thud and a pitched scream. "Sounds like Boba found the Kirik in the compost," Fennec said. "He wants to know which Hutt put a bounty on him. Jalto didn't know." Din looked around again. This is a front for the huts, right? Fennec nodded. One of several they've got in Mos Eisley, she said. Bubiska's been the hub of their spicer operation since Jabba's days. Seems like they're running third-rate assassins out of here, too. That man, she gestured at the dead human on the floor, is known for running down escaped slaves. He works for Gorga. Din knew the name. Gorga was one of the few huts who'd managed to survive the chaos of the Clone Wars and the vicious Syndicate infighting that had erupted later. He'd never been involved in hut operations on Tatooine. Jabba hadn't shared. Gorga had been one of the huts running the cartel on Nal Hutta, and his name had come up on Nar Shadda a few times, too. Din thought he'd taken a job for Gorga once, but wasn't sure. You think Gorga put a hit out on Fett? Gorga or Gardula, said Fennec. Maybe Rata, Jabba's son, but he is not old enough yet to take an active hand in the cartel. Gorga and Gardula are the two at the top. You think they're working together? Fennec snorted. No, she said. They hate each other, which is good for us. A divided cartel we can stand against. The whole cartel, no. Not yet, anyway. There was another scream from the depths of the cantina. Fennec and Din looked at each other and made the decision together to ignore it. Raising the anger of a crime boss was never a good idea. How bad was it? Din finally asked. The attack on the palace, I mean. Two attacks in 2 days was bold, even by Hutt standards. The assassin who'd shot Fennec with a slug thrower hadn't even been cold in the sand before a larger band had attacked. Not too bad, Fennec said. They didn't bomb their way in or anything. Got a couple of lucky shots off before the rest of us caught on. Zero will live. Kasik's hair will grow back. Probably. Din thought for a moment, resisting the urge to roll his shoulders and feel his Beskar digging into his new bruises. Then said, again, You could have got me up. I would have helped. You could have, Fennec agreed, cool as always. But you've been busy. You've earned a lie-in. And we needed to move fast. Bob was trying to get his hands on whoever funded the last two attempts, or at least whoever's middling for the huts and boots on the ground. Once they heard the attack had failed, the hut's Nexupaw would have tried to hit the Black. Boba had a reputation, even before he survived the Sarlacc. There was another scream. He fined the middling? Fennec shrugged. I don't play with my food, usually, she said. So I really can't say. But he found somebody, and it sounds like they'll start talking soon. Din stared down the doorway's dark mouth, skin prickling. He looked away. Din had never gone in for torture. There was little point in bounty work, not when Carbonite subdued a mark just as well and without getting blood all over Din's ship. Don't take it personally, Fennec advised. It's been a rough morning. We didn't spare much time between putting down the attackers and coming here. We've had Bubiska's name since you brought Jalto in. It just became more urgent this morning. Din nodded, once. In the heat of battle, it was easy to forget things. Even things like a warrior with full Beskar sleeping upstairs. It's not because Fett thinks I'm weak, Din told himself, skin still prickling. Fett had sworn that the arrangement he'd come to with Din last night wouldn't affect any of the work Fett had Din do. Fett hadn't left Din behind because he thought Din too fragile to face off with a few second-rate gangsters. He'd just been busy. And we aren't clan, Din reminded himself. The covert had rushed to Din's aid against the Bounty Hunters Guild without a second thought, because that's what tribe was. It was support and aid and blaster fire without question or reserve, despite any disagreements between individual warriors. Paz hadn't been pleased to find out that Din had earned his Beskar Gom by taking Imperial contracts, but he'd rushed to Din's side anyway. His help had saved Din and the child. But Fett and I aren't tribe. He doesn't want one, and doesn't expect a tribe warrior's loyalty from me. Fett was Din's employer, and his ally, and possibly even Din's friend, if the care he'd shown Din last night was any small clue. But tribe was off the table. Din rubbed the spot on his cuirass where Fennec had shot him again. From the depths of the cantina, the screaming had stopped. I'll have him get you next time, Fennec offered, and somehow Din could tell that she was smiling underneath her mask, like she knew something that Din didn't. Three blasters are better than two, and that spear of yours is terrifying.
It's just a spear, Din said, though he was a little pleased.
No one carries a spear these days, she said. The intimidation factor is higher than the moon's. You don't know what you look like when you walk into a room.
What do I look like? Din asked. He looked like a Mandalorian. Rare, but recognizable.
Like something out of a desert tale, Fennec said. A legend come to life.
It's the same with Boba. You're more intimidating, even, because you don't have a name. You're just the Mandalorian. I have a name, Din said, torn between amusement and trepidation. He wasn't a legend or a folktale. He was just himself. A hunter. A dishonored warrior. Darmanda. You even know it.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell anyone, Fennec laughed. It's more fun to watch people faint when you walk into a room.
Nobody faints, Din began, feeling needled now. But he was interrupted by a heavy, rattling step.
Thad emerged from the darkness beyond the cantina's main room. His blaster was holstered at his hip, but he carried his Gaderfi easily in one hand.
Leave him alone, Shand, said Fett.
He sounded tired underneath the tinny echo of his vocoder. Guilt twinged in Din's chest, a sister to the deep ache of his bruises. Fett had gotten even less sleep than Din. Din had collapsed into bed after Fett had finished working him over, had slept well into the morning. Fett had slept less, if at all, if he'd been holding court while Din had been lazing around.
You didn't have to come,
Fett added, looking Din up and down. Din stood straighter, tightening his grip on his belt.
You've had a long few days.
Nora told me there'd been trouble, Din said. He lifted his chin, challenging.
I can help.
Fett huffed. Din couldn't tell if it was amusement or annoyance.
This isn't bounty hunter work, he said, and we're done here anyway.
Got what you needed? Fennec asked. Fett nodded.
Kido gave it up. It's Gorga. Gardula's busy trying to fend off the extended clan. She's got Rada under her tail and wants to keep it that way. Gorga's making a play for more power and thinks we'll fold over easy.
Fennec snorted.
He ever meet you?
No,
said Fett. He doesn't have much of a foothold here either. Bubiska's the only cantina that'd work for him. Buwerma's run by Gardula's ilk, and Netto's out for himself now. Fortuna was too soft on him.
But, Fett added, looking Din over. Din wondered what his expression was like under the helmet.
That's a problem for another time. Cutting Gorga off from Kido's support will send enough of a message for now. Mos Eisley's mine. The palace is mine. Gorga can fight me over other cities if he wants. He's not going to win here.
Fett said it with such conviction that Din couldn't help but believe him. The confidence, strong as Beskar, made anticipation thrill down Din's back. He frowned to himself.
Ally, he told himself firmly. Employer. Keep it separate, Jaren.
What's the word, boss? Fennec said. We burning it?
Fett shook his head.
No, he said.
I don't want fire to spread. I've made my point. Word spreads fast in the gleaning. If they've got the sense the desert gave a do back, anyone working for Gorga will change their tune. If not...
Fett looked at Din.
I've got hunters of my own now.
Din nodded, firmly. He had other responsibilities. He couldn't take on the whole Hutt cartel, not now. Not when he'd come down the spire intending to find Fett to ask for a ship so he could go to Grogu. But he would help where he could. If that meant running down Gorga the Hutt's supporters and bringing them back to Fett like a Missy fetching a bone, well, Din had done worse for less.
Actually, Fennec, put the word out, Fett said. Any friends of Gorga's have until sundown to get off Tatooine. When the moon's come up, I'll pay 100 Imperial credits ahead.
Done, said Fennec. She hopped over the bar nimbly. Jaren, you good to make sure this Kuchu gets back to the palace in one piece?
I don't need a minder, Shand. Said Fett mildly, but Din ignored him and said, yes.
Fennec gave both of them a little salute and sauntered past Din, disappearing back into the grime of the gleaning and leaving Din and Fett standing together in a cantina full of the dead. Fett sighed, the sound crackling. "Drink?" he asked. "No," said Din. "Thank you," he added, remembering Fett standing over him last night. "That means good manners, Jaren." Fett grunted. "Probably nothing worth drinking in this scug hole anyway," he muttered. He cocked his head. "How are you holding up?" "Fine," Din said, trying not to sound cross. "Slept good?" "Yes, I slept fine." Din had to fight down the urge to flex his shoulders again. Fett would know what he was doing, and why. "I'm sorry, I slept through an attack on the palace."
"Don't be," said Fett easily. "It was over fast. Hardly made a commotion. I would have come up and woken you, but you didn't sleep well in Mos Pelgo. Thought you'd earned a restful night."
Din grunted, mirroring Fett.
"That's what Fennec said," he admitted.
"She's the sensible one between us," Fett said. "How's the palace? Still standing?"
Din nodded. Awkwardness made him fidget. He wanted to. He had many things to talk about, not the least of them that he needed to leave, at least for a while, but he didn't know how to bring any of it up now that the threat of an assassination attempt had passed. He didn't want to sound weak or churlish or cowardly.
"Was when I left, anyway," said Din. "Are you sure you don't need help right now?"
"Yeah," said Fett. "This isn't the kind of work I need you for. Fennec and I have got this part of it. It's going to be bloody around here for a few days. You've got other cart going on."
"I'm not bothered by a little blood," Din said.
He swallowed. That hadn't sounded right, but it was too late to snatch the words back now. "No," Fett agreed. "You wouldn't be. But it's not something you've got to worry about. We'll handle the wet work, at least for now. A Baroya's work isn't the same as a Kiramud's."
"This is a test," Din realized. He stood even straighter, annoyed. "Kiramud," he repeated, mimicking Fett's cadence as best as he could. Din had always had a head for languages. He didn't pick them up as fast now that he was fully grown and frequently concussed, but he could learn.
Does that mean assassin?"
Fett inclined his head.
"From Kir," he said. "End or death."
"Kiramud," Din repeated, mostly to himself. He'd known Baroya, but he treasured the new word even if it had been given, as he thought it might, as a test. As a measure of how Mandalorian Din really was. There were Mandalorian assassins. Din wasn't stupid. His covert hadn't had the use for any. It was a rare warrior who would accept the dishonor of assassination over hunting. Other coverts Din had visited or had moved through the network had kept assassins instead of hunters. Assassinations typically paid quite a bit more, and a few coverts had even blurred the two, with Baroya accepting kill contracts alongside regular ones. But even though Din himself disliked the idea of an assassin's work, he'd still do it if he had to. Fett watched him for a moment.
"You were a foundling," he said.
Din blinked, surprised. He nodded.
"Yes," he said.
"But your Buir didn't teach you Mandoa."
My what?"
"Your parent."
Fett's visor gleamed. He still held his Gaddafi loose in his hand.
"The one who adopted you when you were brought into your clan."
"Oh, I didn't have one," said Din. I was found during the Clone Wars. The warrior who found me, he dropped me off with the Fighting Corps and died on his next mission. I didn't have a Buir, is that right?"
"Buir," Fett corrected. Din nodded, committing the word to memory, too.
"There was no one else in your clan to take you?"
"I didn't have a clan until I found the kid," Din explained.
He shifted, uncomfortable. But he had promised Fett honesty, too. We called it a tribe, a covert. There's no one clan. When the purges started, there wasn't time to split off by clan. We went with whoever was around."
"Ah,
said Fett, rubbing the top of his helmet like he would the top of his head. Din softened fractionally, put a little more at ease by Fett's own obvious discomfort.
But no one in your tribe taught you?
Din shook his head. When we went underground, it wasn't safe to be so obviously Mandalorian, he said. There wasn't much the warriors could do about it. They all had Beskar Gom or something close enough, but us kids, for a while we were hand-to-mouth, stealing when we had to, moving from place to place. It was safer to speak Basic or Huttese or whatever the locals around us spoke. Mandalorian was too obvious.
Mandoa, Fett said.
That's your tongue. Mandoa. You are Mandoad. There was a note in Fett's voice that Din couldn't parse. Anger, maybe? But that didn't make any sense. Why would Fett be angry that Din didn't speak Mandalorian?
I didn't lie to you, Din said, wondering if Fett was upset because he'd spoken Mandalorian around Din and Din had played along, either nodding along or piecing together the word with context or ignoring it outright.
I didn't say you did, said Fett. His tone was still hard to read. Din looked away, upset and not understanding why.
The purges were hard for everybody. I'm just surprised, that's all. I would think the Mandoade who survived the wars would want to pass their tongue on. I would think they would want to take in foundlings.
We did, Din said. We do. That's how I ended up with the kid. My Alor charged me with his care.
You were his buir, said Fett.
Parent.
Din wondered if there was a word for placeholder parent. He had never set out to keep the kid.
Grogu belonged with the Jedi. Even this Luke Skywalker's doubts couldn't change that. Grogu had a Jedi's powers, so with the Jedi he would go. For now, anyway. If he wanted to return to the covert, to grow up and take the creed, well, Din would bring Grogu back in. A Mandalorian was made by choice.
I was his clan, Din acknowledged. He touched the mudhorn on his shoulder. A clan of two.
You know some Mandoa, though, Fett pointed out. You know what an Alor is. You know Beroya.
Some things we picked up, Din said. It was almost a game for us kids. We'd sneak around listening to the elders, bringing back the words we learned. I mostly know insults. And Mirsh Moresha, because my teachers kept encouraging me to do it.
Most of Mandoa is insults, Fett admitted. His tone had lightened.
Elite. That's a word you should know.
Elite, Din repeated dutifully. It sounded familiar.
The first syllable was the same as Alor.
It means clan, Fett clarified. Family.
You're of Elite Jaren. I'd be Elite Fett.
Clan Jaren. Din startled a little. He'd never thought about that before. If he was Grogu's parent, Grogu was entitled to Din's name, to his history, thin and meager as it was. The thought cheered Din some.
I'll have to tell him, he thought.
He swallowed. If Fett truly didn't need Din's help here on Tatooine, then Din had other, more pressing duties.
Thank you, he said, sincerely. I'd given up on ever learning Mandoa, to be honest. Didn't seem like something I should ask Kreez about.
Fett snorted. No, he said. I'd advise against it. She's an Anakona around the chest. Her family ruled Mandalore after the Civil Wars. She thinks she's entitled to it.
Din frowned.
He'd known that Kreez had been a leader of some kind, had once held the Darksaber, and with it apparently the throne of Mandalore, which Din hadn't even known had existed. His Alor had taught that there was no one throne. The Mandalore of old had been 1,000 tribes, each ruling themselves, warring and hunting as they wanted.
I'll avoid telling her then, Din said.
He smiled crookedly underneath his helmet. I'm trying to avoid her as much as I can, if I'm being honest. The quest she's on, it's madness. It's Jarior, Fett said quietly. Din cocked his head. A death wish, reckless to excess. Having stood on the ruins of Mandalore, Din had to agree, but he held his tongue. His own quest had been just as mad. Kreese's death wish was her own, and Din had taken her aid in exchange for his own. About the kid, Din began. Fett's head came up. Din swallowed, suddenly nervous. He hadn't expected to leave Tatooine so soon. The Jedi contacted me, Din said. There was an attack on the place where he's training new Jedi. He's worried about the kid. Is he hurt? Said Fett, alarmed. Din shook his head. No, Grogu killed the bounty hunter. Was the hunter there for him? No, said Din. The hunter was there for the Jedi. The remnants have it out for him. He's some important soldier in the rebellion, Kara said. Fett stiffened. Luke Skywalker. If Fett had done work for Vader, Din supposed that he would know many of the Empire's high-profile bounties. Din nodded. The Luke Skywalker, the pilot who blew up the Karking Death Star. Several pieces fell into place at the same time. Oh, Din said. Luke Skywalker was a Jedi. He'd apparently destroyed the Death Star, making him a hero of the Rebellion. Darth Vader had been hunting that pilot, who'd been a friend of Han Solo, who Fett had captured and brought back to Tatooine. A few heroes of the Rebellion had come to Tatooine to retrieve Solo. Vance people thought that a Jedi had killed Jabba. If Luke Skywalker was a Jedi and had come to Tatooine, he'd been a part of Jabba's end. The same end that saw Fett in the belly of a Sarlacc, too injured to reclaim his father's armor for years. Oh, Fett growled darkly. Of course he's the Karging Jedi who's teaching your kid. The universe just works like that, doesn't it? Din paused, uncomfortable. The other Jedi wouldn't teach Grogu, he explained. Skywalker's the only one who came when Grogu called. Fett snorted. I'd think twice before leaving your kid with him, Fett warned. His tone was black. I saw how much the Empire wanted him. He's worth the whole planet, Fett gestured sharply, encompassing all of Tatooine. 5 times over. He killed the Karking Emperor. Din paled. And Jedi, Fett continued, are no friends of the Mando Atta. Din started, but Fett shook his head. I knew Jedi, Fett said. Din blinked. He hadn't thought Fett that much older than Din himself. Maybe a handful of years. How? Din asked. I thought they all died out in the Clone Wars. I fought in the Clone Wars, said Fett flatly. Well, around the Clone Wars. I was there when they started on Geonosis. A Jedi killed my father. I fought Jedi. Kark, I nearly blew up Skywalker's own father. The hero with no fear? Din asked, remembering Cobb Vanth's description of the slave who had become a Jedi. Anakin Skywalker. So Luke was this Anakin's son. He wasn't who I was after at the time, but yeah, Fett spat. I would have killed any of them. Skywalker, too, if Vader hadn't wanted him alive. He doesn't seem that dangerous, Din said doubtfully, concerned now. Had he sent the kid off with someone who would hurt him? Jedi are more dangerous than you realize, said Fett. He shook his head, made restless with agitation. Why'd he call me, then, if your kid wasn't hurt? Grogu killed the hunter who'd come after Skywalker, Din said. Skywalker's concerned. He thinks that Grogu might jump to violence too quickly. If a bounty hunter came after you, would you kill them? Yes, Din admitted, coming back to the core of his confusion with Skywalker. A threat was a threat. Anyone who came after a Mandalorian knew that they were taking their life into their hands.
Mandalorians tolerated no threats to their children, to their tribes. Din would have killed the bounty hunter himself, even if the hunter's target had been Skywalker. Grogu lived in the same place as the Jedi. A threat to Skywalker was a threat to the kid.
Why is that dangerous, then? That's what any Mandalorian would do.
Skywalker said, he said that the Force, the source of a Jedi's powers, is good and evil. Din tried to explain. That what Grogu did touched the dark side, whatever that is. He said that a Jedi only kills as a last resort.
Fett snorted. That's a lie, whether Skywalker knows it or not. The Jetisa have never understood Mandalorians.
Grogu needs to learn how to control his powers, Din said. He could feel the edges of a deeper anger running through Fett, a dark, toothy rage that yawned somewhere beneath their conversation like a Rathtar's mouth, but Din didn't know enough about the Jedi, or even about Mandalorians, to want to argue. The galaxy was much bigger than Din had ever imagined it to be. He took a steadying breath and resisted the urge to get on his knees for Fett, to offer his back as an outlet for Fett's anger. I don't know where that came from, Din thought. Fett hadn't struck him out of anger last night. He'd done it because Din had wanted it, because Din had liked it. But the idea was there now, tingling hot-cold down Din's spine. He swallowed. This is work, he reminded himself. Duty. Not whatever we had last night. Skywalker wants me to go see Grogu, Din repeated. I think he wants to know what's happened to the kid. To understand what his life was like with me on the run. He doesn't think Grogu is evil.
What if the kid decides he wants to be Mando Odd? Fett challenged. What will Skywalker think then?
I don't know, Din said, honestly. Grogu's species ages so slowly it'll be another 50 years before he's old enough to even think about that decision, and by then I'll be rust and dust.
Fett blew out an irritated breath. I apologize, he said, roughly. That was out of line. The kid's decisions will be his own. And you'll do what's best for him. You're a good boy. I just... be wary around Skywalker. A Jedi's not to be trusted. They have no clans, no tribes. They don't understand family.
Din's skin prickled again, this time with a sort of slow horror. They don't have families, but then where do Jedi come from?
Other families, said Fett. Before the Republic fell, the Jedi would take children from the families they were born into. Children were kept away from their parents, raised to know only the Jedi. They were forbidden from having children of their own. My father...
Fett stopped, pulled in another breath.
My father said that was why the Jedi and the Mando Ade fought. Because Jedi wanted to take Mandalorian children to raise as Jedi. Take them from their clans, and the clans wouldn't give their children up.
The Jedi took children? Din had been taken from his birth family, but his birth family had been dead. He couldn't imagine the Allure allowing anyone to take a child from the tribe. Any and all of the warriors would have fought and died to keep Din with them as a child, even when he'd been weak and frightened. The only time the tribe let a child go was when it would be better for the child to leave. Some children just didn't thrive in the tribe. They couldn't adapt to the tribe's way of life. Grogu had needed to leave for his own safety.
Din shook his head.
I'll talk to Skywalker, he said. I'll make him understand. The kid's not Mandalorian. He didn't swear the creed. But he is a foundling, and he was just doing what he's been taught.
Be careful, Fett stressed. He shook his head. If I had the bodies, I'd send someone with you.
I don't need a minder, Din reminded Fett.
But you could use an ally, Fett countered. Mandalorians who go against Jedi alone usually end up dead.
His father. Din didn't know how he knew that was what had happened, but he did know it. Jango Fett had stood alone against a Jedi, and the Jedi had killed him. Din had seen firsthand how Jedi fought.
He himself was no match for Luke Skywalker. Din wondered how old Fett had been when he'd seen a Jedi fell his father. He swallowed. "He's not my enemy, I don't think," said Din slowly. "He's worried about the kid, that's all. I can't blame him for that. I worry about the kid a lot." Fett huffed, some of his anger bleeding away. "As is your place," he said. He ran a hand over his helmet again and looked at Din. "We agree to honesty," he said. Din nodded. "We did." His fingers tightened around his belt. "I don't like sending you away so soon after your first time under," Fett said. "How are you, really? How much pain are you in?"
"It's manageable."
"And your head?"
"Doesn't hurt any more than usual," Din reported.
If anything, the twin jolts of adrenaline, of getting Skywalker's calm and then seeing blood all over the throne room floor, had cleared more of Din's pain than he wanted. The point of taking all those blows had been to earn pain, to have something Din could use to ground himself, to focus, to clear his head.
Fett huffed.
"That wasn't what I meant," he said, but he didn't push it. He paused, then said, "It's not my place to ask," he said. "But will you come back?"
"I planned on it," Din said, startled into honesty. "I doubt Skywalker wants me to stay. I'm hardly going to help Grogu learn his Jedi stuff. I haven't heard from Kreese either. I was going to come back when Skywalker had gotten what he wanted out of me."
"Good," said Fett, sounding pleased. "You're your own man. You don't owe me anything. But it's been good to have you around, and it's hard to find warriors I trust."
Din was warmed, despite himself.
"I am coming back," he promised. It was easier to promise this than it had been to promise anything to Fett last night on his knees. "I just need to make sure the kid's okay first."
"If the Jedi tells you your kid's gonna grow up to be a Sith Lord or something, bring the kid here," Fett instructed, seriously. Din didn't know what a Sith Lord was, but he didn't like the sound of it. "I don't think me or Fennec ever spent any time around a kid, let alone a Jedi kid, but if he's yours, he's got a place with us."
"Tribe," said the part of Din that was still Mandalorian. "Clan. Elite." That wasn't what Fett was offering. Din knew that wasn't. He and Fett had only known each other for a handful of days, really. Their trust was battle-forged, true. Fett had pulled through on Morak, had come back to the light cruiser, had seen Din's face, and still taught him words in Mandalorian. But it was still new. Too new to be clan and tribe.
"If it comes to that," Din said, though he privately thought that Fett's palace was probably not the safest place for a magical toddler, at least until the Hutt cartel had been chased off.
He winced, remembering what he needed. "And I need to borrow a ship. I'll pay for it."
That did make Fett huff in amusement, the sound more or less familiar now.
"Actually," he said, "come with me, I've got a better idea."
They left Bubiska together, walking in step like soldiers in the same formation, and to Din's surprise, turned out of the gleaning and into the quarter. The quarter had a spaceport, of course, because the Sarlane ended there. Slaves could be shipped across the galaxy, unloaded and put to auction in the same place they'd live and work.
"Want to earn a little Beskar while you're off tolerating a Jedi?" Fett asked, stopping in front of the spaceport. There was only one ship on the port.
Din stared at it.
"Is that a Hawk 290? Din asked, stretching out the word. He'd only ever seen a few. HWK 290s were Corellian, light and lean, and mostly kept for work in the core, the Inner Rim. Most Corellian-made ships were too well put together to end up out here in Rim space. Hawks were old, pre-Imperial, like the Crest had been. But the ship in front of Din was slimmer than the Razor Crest, long and narrow like a Shriek Hawk swooping in for a dive. Fett tilted his helmet, visor gleaming in the sun.
"Looks like it to me," he said.
She won't have your crest's firepower, but your friend Vanth tells me this particular ship has been crossing the Sourlands for decades. Never been taken, he says. Din's eyes narrowed. This is Vanth's ship? No, said Fett, but from what I understand, she is part of his network. A freedom ship. Where am I going? He asked, understanding now what Fett wanted him to do. He was surprised that Fett was getting involved in the network, but Vanth had probably made it a condition of Mos Pelgo's cooperation with the palace. Fett clapped him on the shoulder. Din hissed, pain flaring, but Fett wasn't apologetic. He'd probably done it on purpose. I'm surprised your signet's not a shriekhawk, sharp as you are, he said. It's part of my agreement with Mos Pelgo. You're making a drop-off in Bos Pity if it's not out of your way. Din hadn't put Skywalker's coordinates into a nav computer yet, but in hyperspace everything was relative. Going out to Bos Pity wouldn't be that much of a burden. How many? No idea, said Fett. Vanth doesn't trust me much. You're already loaded. I was going to have Cassie handle it. He's a fair pilot. But you're better, and you haven't been shot recently. Din had been shot plenty, but he understood the point. Fine, he said. Jate, said Fett. He gripped Din's shoulder gently enough that the pain only murmured down Din's back. Be careful. If you need us, you've got my frequency. Offer stands for the kid. Din nodded. I'll be fine.
Retourcez-moi, said Fett, in the tones of a teacher. Retourcez-moi, Din repeated. What does that mean?
Din got the impression that Fett was smiling. Ask me when you get back, he said. Good luck. Din looked at the Hawk 290. Her name was painted on her sides in crooked Urabash. She was called the Kyrick Fly, of all things, but Din could see it. The nose was long and pointed like a Kyrick Fly, and he could tell just from looking at her that she was light and maneuverable. He sighed. Can you take Nora's speeder back? I told her I would. It's the yellow one parked in the trade district. And try not to get killed on your way back. I told Fennec I'd make sure you made it safely. Fett's hand tightened for a moment, a true, bright pain. And then he let go and stood back. Din crossed the distance between himself and the ship's side port, climbing up the ramp. He paused in the open doorway. As Fett had said, Din's charges were waiting for him. There were six. 2 Twi'leks, 3 humans, and a Rodian. They had a raw, hungry look about them, fire shining in their eyes. They were survivors. Din remembered what Fennec had said to him inside Bubiska. You look like a legend come to life. I don't want to be a legend, he thought. He cleared his throat. I'm Jaren, he said. You know where we're going? None of the beings in the fly's hold gave Din their names, but one, a male Twi'lek with a freshly scabbed cut at the hollow of his throat, nodded. Strap yourselves in, then, said Din, heading towards the cockpit. He'd never flown an HWK series freighter before, but it couldn't be that much different from the crest, could it? It's a long flight to Bos Pity. Any of you manned guns before? The escaping slaves shared a look among themselves. Then one of the humans, a scrawny brown-haired human girl, tentatively raised her hand. I have, she said. Din pointed to the co-pilot's chair. Climb in, then, he said. I've got a feeling we're going to need you before we land.